This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries, and powered by the law offices of Pond, Weehawken, Stern, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
And a good Saturday evening, Delaware Valley, and welcome into Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. We're powered by Pond, Lahaki, Stern, and Giordano, the workers' compensation law firm. We're fueled by the Sonesta Hotel, where every month we do our labor leader roundtable live from the Sonesta Hotel, and we're driven by our good friends up on the Boulevard, Chapman Ford, who has been serving the union community for a long, long time, and we welcome Chapman Ford into our partnership, and we welcome the audience from around the Delaware Valley into what should be a fantastic and a great night tonight, Jay Doc, as we are loaded for bear with a full show and a full house, a big major announcement. We're waiting for that, but we've got a lot on the agenda tonight.
Absolutely, Joe. We have an awesome show. We got Richie Lazor, former deputy mayor of Labor City, Philadelphia. There's a major announcement coming our way on that one. We have Jamil Rush, president of Philly Sherm. We have Mike Ferraro, president of Bridging the Gap, and Dr. Albert Talone, a physician from Weinerman Pain and Wellness. So we do have a loaded show tonight.
All right, all good stuff, and we'll get the audience through the next hour. It is part of our Philly at Work's job show tonight. Our jobs initiative continues to grow on this program. Mike Ferraro, who is in studio tonight. Mike, we'll get you to just weigh in quickly with us. You were here when we launched the program, when this all started just a short time ago, maybe a month into the year 2018 when it all started. The program and a lot of conversation behind the scenes, but it's helping support all of the good work that you do for the veterans.
Absolutely, Joe. It's been a great thing to be part of this showcase here and helping all the veterans that we do every month, every day. And it's great news that's shared. Like, we have veterans who are listening right now who are helping finding jobs. So I'm so happy to be here.
Mike Ferraro joining us and will be with us and co-host of the program. It's Bridging the Gap. And that delay or that gap, Michael, is sometimes a very... It can be challenging, it can be wide, it can be difficult, it can be hard to navigate, and some of the key elements of your program are what helps pull that all together.
Oh, absolutely. So we're finding that most of the veterans that we see, both active duty, guard, reserve, retirees, military spouses, a lot of them don't even know what they want to do after serving our country honorably. And so we're there to help them. And our program is allowing them to find that career.
Let's introduce to the audience Jamil Rush, who is with us in the studio, who'll be joining us for his segment in the B block and then throughout the hour. Jamil, but I'll give you the platform. I welcome you into the Talk Radio 1210 studios. I'll give you the platform to introduce what Philly Sherm means. What does that mean for our listening audience?
Absolutely. So I'm honored to be here. Thanks to you all for having me. Philly Sherm's actually, it stands for the Society for Human Resource Management. So we are the local chapter of the national organization. We have about 1,300 HR and business professionals that are part of our organization. We focus on networking, programming, workforce development, all for the HR and business community. So excited to talk about it.
And it's nice to have you in here as part of our Philly at Work's job show, which is tonight the first week of the month. Believe it or not, we are only 26 days away until the Phillies open the 2018 Major League Baseball season. They opened March 29th down in Atlanta, and then they come home on April 5th for their home opener. That's how quick we are moving along here in 2018.
Yeah, so, you know, we have a big show tonight, and I'm ecstatic to have on the program Rich Lazor, former deputy mayor of Labor and former correspondent on the show. Rich, welcome to the show, number one.
How's everything
going? Fantastic. We have a big announcement that's coming on Monday so that we're all really excited about it. We're going to get a sneak peek. Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, so like I said, I miss you guys. I'm glad you guys have me on tonight. I want to thank you both. You know, Monday I'm going to be announcing my candidacy for the 5th Congressional District. As everybody knows, the maps have gotten changed up a little bit, and I was running for the Congressman Brady's seat that he's retiring from, and now they have moved that seat, made it the 5th Congressional District, which is South Philadelphia and Delaware County. So on Monday I'll be announcing my bid for that seat.
Rich Laser joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT as we come to you here on a Saturday night. I guess we can now clarify, Rich, former correspondent for Saturday Night right. Live with Philly Labor, but nice to have you here. Before I get you to comment, let me play an audio soundbite. Let's do that now, and then we'll bring Richie back into the conversation.
I brought back 15.5 billion, with a B, billion dollars to the city of Philadelphia and its region. There's nobody that could come in and do all the things I've done.
Rich Laser now on the line with us here on the hotline on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Congressman Bob Brady with that comment or that statement following his announcement of the resignation. Rich, the shoes are large, my friend.
Rich?
Yeah, I got cut off there.
Okay, we got you. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you had a chance to hear the soundbite, but the shoes for the congressman are large for you, sir.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Congressman Brady's done a great job. He's a great friend of mine. He's always been helpful to me as my time with Mayor Kenney and also in the council office. He's done a great job. You know, as head of the Democratic Party, he's done a lot of stuff for the city. Run a lot of money back. He's always there when anybody ever needs him. So it's an honor to actually follow in his hope to follow in his footsteps. But he's going to be sorely missed by the city.
Yeah, and Rich, what inspired you to make this move?
You know, I've always been interested in public service. It's always been important to me from my time at Burke Playground when I was younger to working for Councilman Kenney and then, you know, going into the administration as deputy mayor for labor. And it's always about helping people. So when this chance presented itself, you know, this is extremely a working class district. It's a working blue-collar district, and I wanted to get in there and make sure we carry on what Congressman Brady did, 100% labor vote. I want to be there for labor, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about helping people. So I thought selling this is an opportunity, and I was excited about it, so I jumped in right away.
You know, I know you're going to talk about your platform and all your goals on Monday during the announcement, but can you give us a little bit of a sneak peek of what your platform is going to be?
Yeah, I think it's all about working people, you know. You know, the 15, we got to raise the 15 minimum, get it with $15 an hour minimum wage, Medicare for all. I mean, Medicare should be a right in this country, not a privilege. We got to make sure that all of our folks have health care, good quality health care. And also, and I'm sure on this show it's been talked about, is the Janus case that's in front of the Supreme Court now. Working people, specifically laborers, under attack in this country with right to work legislation. And now this Janus case in front of the Supreme Court. We got to go down there and fight and hold the line and protect our working families. And that's going to be what my platform is going to be about.
Rich Laser joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT with a big announcement, call it a major announcement. We have, I guess, the right, J-Doc, to say breaking news, because we're breaking it here tonight on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Rich will have more when the official announcement is made on Monday. Rich, what's going to be the pushback? What do you expect the pushback to be for you as a candidate? Do you expect to feel much pushback in the city?
No, I don't think so. I think it's, like I said, it's all about the issues, and that's what I'm going to make it about. And I just hope that when I put my message out there, it resonates with the residents in the new 5th Congressional District. And I, you know, I want to show them my record and the experiences and the examples that I can show them. And I think by that, you know, proving that case, they'll feel comfortable, hopefully, with voting for me and moving forward into November.
Now, Rich, your time in the mayor's office, certainly you've been a busy man.
Yes.
What can you take from that experience into the campaign and then the office?
So I think patience is a big thing. I think listening to everybody. You know, one of the big things is kind of was my role in this administration, specifically as deputy mayor for labor, was kind of being a negotiator, kind of coming in. You know, there's always compromise, and we have to make sure that everybody's heard, but at the end of the day, we got to all work together to get to the end and make sure that people, you know, same thing with we did with the teachers, or we did with AFSCME, we did with SEIU at the airport. We got to come in there and, you know, negotiate a fair deal, and that's what we got to do here. And it's all about, like I said, working people. I mean, that this district is extremely blue collar, working families, and I think we got to make sure we protect them and make sure that they can all live a happy and, you know, enriching life for themselves and their family.
The former deputy mayor of the city, Rich Laser, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with J-Duck. I'm Krause on a Saturday night. Rich, we're, before we let you go, you've been on this program many, many times. You've been at our roundtable at the Sonesta. You appeared on the program when we debuted here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and you've always brought forth intimate information or conversation about how to solve, how to be a problem solver. And I think that's made, in my assessment of you, I think that's what you bring. I think that's your ability to solve problems might be one of your biggest assets. Agree?
Yeah, I would agree. That's what I want to do. And that's, I think that's extremely important, especially in the time in Washington now where there's a lot of problems and a lot of issues have to be solved. And we have to get to business and get them solved. Because at the end of the day, it's the people who get hurt when we don't solve these issues.
Well, Rich, listen, as we let you go, I just want you to know that our platform is your platform. We'll congratulate you on the announcement and let you know that you have our announcement, buddy. We're 100% behind you. We're looking forward to a long and happy future with you as our congressman.
I appreciate that. I want to thank you guys. I was honored always to be on the show. Always had a good time. I love talking about the issues, and I hope to be back soon with you guys.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Rich. That's the former Deputy Commissioner of Labor, the candidate for the 5th Congressional District, Rich Laser, on the broadcast.
All right, all good stuff. And thank you, Rich, for making that announcement here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Before we get into the break, a couple of programming reminders. This month, Pat Iding and Richard Trumka, a special show on the tariff. We'll have all of that in 2 weeks. Look for a great show lined up with Pat Iding and Richard Trumka from the AFL-CIO. We'll debate, talk about the tariff on steel and aluminum and all of that. So good, interesting conversation coming up in 2 weeks from tonight. Our job initiative is tonight. And then on the horizon, down the road, as we move into quarter number two here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Joe Biden will make his debut on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Mayor Jim Kenney, and we're going to go live to kick off the summer of 2018 from Great Adventure. We look forward to that about 60 days out. So a lot of good stuff happening on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Back in a moment. Back here live on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Special thanks to Rich Laser for checking in with us and making that announcement here on the big show. Don't forget, coming up 8 to 11 tonight, Dan Loney will take you into the night.
Dan
on Talk
Loney
Radio
in the house.
1210 WPHT.
So, you know, we're ecstatic tonight to have our Philly at Work Jobs segment and our business segment. And I'm ecstatic to have on the program Jamil Rush, who's the president of Philly Sherm. He's the director of human resources at Yo A Day and Zimmerman and Company. Jamil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm really excited. And before we start, tell us and our audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so day job, director of HR for Day and Zimmerman. Day and Zimmerman's a big company here in Philadelphia. We have four parts of our business. That's engineering, construction and maintenance, staffing, munitions manufacturing, and then private securities.
Go ahead. Yeah, and how long have you been there?
Been there for just over 2 years, but been in HR for over 12 years. So.
Now, and the amazing thing is I've always, Mike Farrar knows that, I've always been intrigued by HR, and you are the president of Philly Sherm. What does Philly Sherm stand for?
Yeah, it stands for Society for Human Resource Management. So it's a big group of HR people.
So we got the right guy in the house right now. Tell us what the organization does and who your members are.
Right. So we have about 1,300 members. Most of them are HR professionals, but we also have business leaders as well who have an interest in talent management and HR type activity. So we'll put on everything from programming around HR to thought leadership articles of talking to companies and businesses about how they can do a better job in managing their people. And then I also get the pleasure as the president to build out my own platform within it. So during my presidency, we'll be focused around workforce development and
Jamil,
really helping Philadelphia
Jamil,
tackle the jobs.
Let me ask you, you know, on this very day, March 3rd, 2018, and at a time when HR is a very, very important subject, it's a very important entity inside of a small business or inside of a company, perhaps maybe the single biggest asset that a company can have is the HR department. Are your challenges much harder today, much bigger today?
Yeah, well, right now, right, because there's so much going on in the macro society, and we'd like to act like people don't take their outside lives to work, but the reality is they do, right? So how are we managing that, and how are we dealing with all of this polarization that is happening in the nation more broadly, and how does that impact our people when they come to work every day?
You know, one of the things I find absolutely, like I said, intriguing, but captivating is when you walk into a small business. And, you know, I have a sense of, how I should run my business. But what's important for people to understand at small businesses is they are governed by the same rules and regulations as the biggest corporate entities in regards to the operations and treating and employees. Am I correct?
Yeah. Well, in their size, right, various laws come into play as your business grows larger. Certainly, if you're above 15 employees, you're going to see a lot of that stuff kick in for you right away.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, the facets of human resources and the complexities. Tell us the range of services and duties that an HR department has.
Yeah. And it's evolved a lot right now. So there's the traditional HR stuff where there were just a bunch of back office people who they handled the paperwork. They made sure people were paid. Maybe your benefits. Right now, we really like to think of ourselves as business partners. So how do I work with the business leaders? And my expertise is just around the people within the company, right? So we're trying to help businesses reach their goals by giving them perspective on how they maximize their human resource. That's where it comes from.
On this radio station, the listening audience of this radio station here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, I'm quite certain is comprised of a lot of small business owners, of a lot of executives who are in very powerful positions at big companies around the Delaware Valley or up and down the East Coast. Is there a different dynamic, Jamil, for you in terms of the corporate executive versus the small business or versus the individual who has less than 15 employees per se?
Yeah, and what they have to do varies, right? So when we think about our programming, we put on programs for execs. We also have a series that's focused around HR departments of one or HR departments of none, right? So I'm the CFO, the ops leader and everything, and
right,
what your needs are and how you have to think about it varies greatly across that range.
And there's a lot of people that are in that HR department of zero, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that doesn't mean it's not important, right? To Joe's point, you still need to know what to do. One, not to get your company in trouble, but more importantly, to maximize the people that are there.
And how much of your time is spent sometimes talking to executives and kind of working with them on managing their company and your employees?
A lot. Some execs are better than others, but ideally, if you're being a really great HR practitioner, you're talking to your business leader constantly about what are these business goals, and then you're talking to them about, all right, how do we mobilize our workforce to set us up for success there?
Yeah, That's the right role. And interestingly, small business owners, and I, we're small business owners, Joe. Let's talk about a small business owner. Okay, he's the king. Okay, in his little domain. Okay, even I'm talking about mine. And there's different size small businesses, as you know. What kind of challenge is it sometimes? So you have your corporate executive, and they're up the corporate ladder, so they're used to that corporate environment. But what about the master of his own domain, who created his own company? Can that be even more of a challenge when you have to go in and say to somebody, you can't really act like that, and you got to kind of refine certain things?
Yeah, it's tough to be told you shouldn't be doing that. And people have egos, especially entrepreneurs, right?
Sure.
You come in and then the HR person, this lowly HR woman or man comes in and says, no, that's probably not a good idea. You shouldn't talk to that person this way, or right, you shouldn't pay that person, or maybe that individual shouldn't work here. But you have to have those tough conversations, and that's why you become a value business partner with it.
And Jamil, I'd like you to drill down for the benefit of the listening audience, for those who are in business, for those executives. When a complaint is levied against an employee at a company, what is your advice in terms of how that should be handled from start to finish? If there's a way to put that in a synopsis for us.
Yeah, and there's probably no one size fits all around it, but I think one thing you want to make sure you're always mindful of, you always want to do your due diligence when employees come forward with complaints. So even if it's a repeat offender, you don't want to be caught with your hands in a cookie jar because you didn't do anything about it when they asked you that question.
And now you have the Me Too movement, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, sexual harassment and things like that, the definitions are vast. And, you know, that I guess that takes, you know, in other words, you have to be really attentive to stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And you see it all the time, right? We did an investigation or.
Sure.
Often the lawsuits start with, oh, I told my business.
Like the Dallas Mavericks, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. And Mark Cuban's like, I don't know anything about what's going on here. So that's the worst part. If an employee brings the complaint through the proper channels and you took no action, right, then the company is really liable. At the very least, you want to say, we did this investigation. We talked to these people. We checked it out. We found that there was cause or no cause behind it all. And here's what we did as a result in notifying everyone.
If you find that there's no cause, I sometimes feel that when accusations are rendered, there's an automatic assumption of guilt when I don't necessarily know if that should, well, I know, in my opinion, that shouldn't be the reality of it, but sometimes put somebody on the defensive immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, sometimes people assume guilty until found innocent, and you never want that. You always want to follow up with the person and give them the respect. Even if you found that there was no cause or, hey, there was a misunderstanding, you always want to come back to that individual and say, here's what we found. Let's talk about what you're feeling in this situation and what we're going to do to rectify it moving forward.
And at the same time, when somebody comes to you with a complaint, a sexual harassment complaint, you want to make them feel comfortable so that they you know, don't feel intimidated and still have to live through that situation.
Yeah, and you don't want to create a culture where people feel like no one's at bat for them. Because that's when they start going outside, right? Then you get to the news stories and the social media posts and the EEOC and all those violations that come up because people feel like they have no advocacy within their organization.
Jamil Rush, the president of Philly Sherm, is joining us here. It's part of our Philly at Work's job show here in the studio on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Jamil is going to stay with us throughout the remainder of the program. Jamil, I want to ask you quickly about social media. It's becoming a scenario now for all of us, young and old, where social media almost becomes the death of us all in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I've seen more than a few companies just reacting to social media, right? I see people who have posted things that were inappropriate, them being connected to their organizations on, say, LinkedIn or Facebook, and then people attacking the organization, right? Saying, "Why? How dare you employ an individual like this?" So it becomes so important to be conscious of who you have associated with your organization and monitoring what's being said.
Absolutely. Social media is... you know, I mean, especially when you're a professional, you represent a company and, you know, you want to maintain that type of environment. No question about it. I'm absolutely intrigued by the process and an individual and somebody who, what does it take and what qualities do good HR professionals have?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. One, you have to understand your stuff, right? So you have to understand just the basics, the laws, the policies, all those things that come along with it. I think from a quality standpoint, you have to have courage to stand up to the leaders that you're working with, to stand in front of the people that you're talking to and advocate on both ends. And then the third, I think, is business savvy as well, right? No, if you're an HR person and you're the only thing you bring to the table is knowledge of HR stuff,
sure,
and not knowledge of the businesses that you're supporting, you're going to struggle because no one's going to take you serious. That's when HR becomes the huggy Philly people that no one likes.
And integrity. I mean, in other words, but also I got your courage. No question about it. Sometimes you have to make a call and you have to do something that may not be easy, but it has to be done. And, You know, so listen, I want to, Jamil, I'm ecstatic that you're part of the broadcast. And listen, to our listeners, I'm trying to you know, get more Jamil, no question about it. We want to make him a part of the broadcast. And certainly, you know, before you go, tell us about the, and I mean, you're going to stick with us, but tell us about the Philly Sherm Convention.
Absolutely. On March 22nd at the Center City Sheraton, we're having our big symposium. That's our biggest event of the year. We'll have almost 600 HR and business leaders and over 30 vendors and sponsors who will be coming out and talking about a ton of things. Our keynote speaker is a woman named Carrie Lorenz, who is the first female Tomcat fighter pilot. And she's going to be talking about fearless leadership for us. Nick Bayer, the CEO of Saxby's, will be one of our other closing sessions, and countless other leaders from across the Philadelphia area. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Jamil Rush joining us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Well done. Nice job by you. We appreciate you staying with us throughout the full show. We'll get to a commercial break when we come back. Mike Ferrara in the house, bridging the gap every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Back in a moment.
I believe there's room, okay, for the national building trades, the local building trades that have partnerships with the Trump administration as it pertains to energy, as it pertains to infrastructure, as it pertains to the undocumented worker.
Back here live on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, presented by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. Dr. Talone will be joining us after our next break for our final segment. Mike Ferrara back in the house. We introduced him at the very top of the show, president of Bridging the Gap. And as you heard me say going into the commercial break, the good work that is being done by Bridging the Gap. There is no clock, there is no time, there is no end, Michael, to the work that you do. And I lead into you and I welcome you into the program. And thank you, of course, for being in the studio.
Well, it's a pleasure, Joe, always being here. It gives me great honor to be able to represent all the military veterans that are currently looking for work as well.
You know, Mike, you just got, you were appointed to a committee in Jersey with some big time heavyweights. Tell us a little bit about that.
So recently, Governor Phil Murphy, when he took over his new administration, one of the things that he did was create a commission called the Legislative Commission for Veterans Benefits. So that's going to be dealing with homelessness for veterans, healthcare, education, all kinds of quality of life stuff, but also unemployment or veteran jobs. And I'm on the commission. I'm one of five New Jersey residents who are military veterans, and I'm one of them at a 13 commission panel. And every month or so, we're going to get together and come up with solutions and hopefully implement them across the state of New Jersey.
I mean,
I'm
that's
quite honored.
That's amazing.
Now, Michael, what you do is a way of providing solutions. Everything from speed networking to connecting the dots to going through the process, all of that that kind of fits into what Bridging the Gap stands for. Explain that for us.
So we have an Ignite strategy. And so that Ignite strategy consists of a couple things. I'll go quickly. One is to understand who you are, identify your natural skills and abilities, get a mentor, get focused, network using social media, identify career field tactics that you can employ when you're networking, Translate your resume and fireproof it, and then engage and explore. That Ignite strategy helps a veteran focus into finding a job. And all those modules are all set up in our sessions that we do.
With Jamil sitting to your right, it made me think or pose the question, how challenging can it be for somebody in HR who perhaps doesn't have experience with interviewing somebody who's coming out of the military, who's a veteran? There's a disconnect, I think, perhaps, on both sides.
Oh, Joe, we see this all the time. The value of a veteran, what they bring to the table. Most people think you go into the military and you have a great career, whether it's 4 years or 20 years. But when they go into the civilian world, the hiring managers and the HR, many of them are not fully aware of the capability that they have, and we call it the value of a veteran.
And Mike, you actually introduced us to Jamil. Jamil, can you kind of weigh in on that a little bit?
Absolutely. And one of the things you see organizations doing more and more often is talking to their HR and recruitment professionals about translating those skills. So really trying to understand what does it mean when you've been in service and how does that translate over to the workforce so we can really talk to our hiring managers about why vets are so important to us.
Yeah, and they have intangibles many times that, you know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I mean, but a young college kid coming out of school, they got to, you know, they got to go up the ladder. But a veteran has unique skills, correct, Mike?
Oh, no doubt about it. Not only technical abilities and leadership, but also they're the ones that are going to be there on time. You show up on time, that means you're late. Most military guys and girls are going to be there 15, half hour before. You know they're going to be drug free. You know they're going to be physical fit and ready to go to work in that sense. And character, they're going to have integrity and core values. Those are the intangibles that, you know, you're going to get with a hiring a veteran.
I would love to get J-Doc to adopt the philosophy on the timing. I've been trying to do it for 4 years. I'm still working on it. Michael, bring me to the other side. What's the disconnect?
I got to go to boot camp.
What's the struggle for the veteran when they find themselves in a conversation with a representative from the company or with the HR department? Because making that impression is key to perhaps getting the consideration. It's all about getting the consideration ultimately, which leads to the offer. But in order to get to the offer, you got to pass the test.
So a couple things. One is the resume. Translating those the content on the resume so that the HR professional can say this person is qualified for the job. Many times it's in some kind of military acronym that they don't understand. I see resumes all the time that has that kind of problem. Second is most military professionals, they're not selling themselves. They're used to being on a team. They don't have to sell themselves. And now all of a sudden it's all about them. It's all about themselves and being able to get that job. They're not used to doing that. They're not articulate a lot of times. We help that.
I was going to say, do you help
absolutely
that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we go through a whole 30-second pitch on how to do a 30-second infomercial about yourself.
Now, you do the speed networking.
That's our capstone.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So 5 to 7 minutes and one-on-one with about 15 companies. So we have some success stories out of this speed interviewing. One guy, one military professional, just last month in February at the Joint Base at McGuire-Dix-Lakehurst, 6 separate interviews with 6 different companies. From the 15 companies that were there, he got 6 different companies now looking at him.
Wow.
But prior to that, he couldn't get anybody to return an email or a phone call. And so he came to ours and in person, one-on-one, and now he's getting looked at.
I mean, that's got to make you feel amazing.
Oh, it does, inside.
I mean, it's a game changer.
Yeah, but the best is when you get testimonials, when it's all over, the class is over, people come up to me and ask me, you know, we got to get the word out on this. This is fantastic, what you're doing here.
Mike Ferrara is joining us here in the studio, part of our Affiliate Works job show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Michael, let me ask you, and then I'll get Jamil to weigh in on this. How do you get the individual who doesn't look good on paper but is the best candidate for the job if they could just get the opportunity?
So we fireproof the resume. We interview that person and ask for the fact, the impact, the result, and the effect. We fireproof the resume. So we make bullet statements on the resume so that the way the format is, format and function of the resume, it's very easy to read for the HR person. Jamil probably could attest to this. Most of HR professionals don't look at a resume but maybe 15, 20 seconds. And then they got machines that look at it as well for filtering. But the key thing is using achievements and accomplishments of what they've done, not a job description. And that's where they run into problems.
Yeah, it's absolutely critical to get beyond the resume too, as well with that. So fireproofing the resume is important. But if your job search is limited to applying to things online, it's going to be hopeless for you, right? So you got to get in front of people, especially with military veterans, where you can show that presence and how well you're put together and how well you bring it in front of it. That's going to help you get beyond the piece of paper that shows you.
I mean, to me, that's stunning. I mean, just it's almost like, you know, hearing it from the horse's mouth. You know what I mean? You got to get while the two of you are talking, the first thing I'm thinking of is, and this sounds great because we just won a Super Bowl, right? I'm thinking of Tom Brady. There's a guy who was drafted in the 6th round. He still has one of the worst combines in the history of the NFL, and yet his intangibles are so incredible. And you know, his skills that weren't measurables were so incredible that he's the great. Now you're not. That's not always going to happen. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Jamil, you got to get in front of somebody. You got to get off the resume and in front of somebody. And that's not because it's a numbers game. It's not always easy to do. Am I correct?
It's absolutely not easy to do. And Mike's right. HR practitioners getting hundreds of resumes for tons of these jobs, so they have to narrow it down. So if you don't fit a certain algorithm, sometimes you get narrowed out just by virtue of the sheer volume that people are dealing with.
First thing you do, Mike Ferraro, when you meet an individual, a veteran, for the very, very first time, perhaps somebody who's listening on the show tonight that's going to go to Bridging the Gap and start to try and understand how you can help them to put them in a position to succeed, what's the first thing you'll do?
First thing we ask them, do you have a resume first? And then after we find out that they do or don't, then we start to figure out what do they really want to do? What is it? What kind of job are they looking for? So we kind of peel back that onion a little bit and get to know them a little bit. This is one-on-one. And then we invite them to come out to our monthly events. And most of them are on Joint Base McGuire, Dix Lakehurst, and the surrounding areas. We have different universities as well. The New Jersey Bordentown Armory also. We just got West Point. We got Fort Hamilton, New York now, so we're expanding. And so we kind of build a whole profile around this person as to where they want to live. I mean, a whole bunch of different characteristics. But I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, they don't know what they want to do. And it goes back to that first thing, is do you want to be a program manager? Do you want to be a security engineer? Whatever it may be, many of them are not sure.
One of the things before you go, I want to say before we end the segment is we're going to be launching the chance segment, mm-hmm. and that's a big thing, near and dear to your heart. And the chance segment is going to create a platform where we bring in military veterans and have them provide the opportunity to tell their story, and then have the opportunity to meet HR representatives that represent companies that will get that opportunity to see somebody, not just on LinkedIn, not just their resume on paper, but they'll get the opportunity to tell their story in front of true professionals like Jamil and get a chance to make a connection. You're excited about that, Mike?
Oh, very excited. Really a Patriot Fellowship, if you really think of a job shadow for a few days. Getting an opportunity, get a foot in the door into a company where you can sell yourself as a military professional into transitioning into a civilian career. What better way? And so this call to action that we'll have through this radio station, this broadcast, we'll be able to get the listening audience, hopefully, to get some employers to say, hey, I'll sign up for that. I'll take a chance on that person.
We'll continue to use the platform and the power of this radio station on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT to push Philly at Work. It's our job show. It's our jobs initiative. Mike Ferraro in the studio. Jamil Rush in the studio. Tonight we're going to get to a commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Albert Talone will join us. 45-plus years in the medical field. He's got some insight. We'll talk to Dr. Talone when we come back. And back here live on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's our Philly at Work job show tonight. Special thanks to Mike Ferraro. Good stuff. BridgingTheGap.vet. BridgingTheGap.vet. Good dialogue and good conversation with Mike and Jamil in that last segment leading into Dr. Albert Talone, who we're going to bring into the conversation, J-Doc. But this Philly at Work jobs initiative, which support from the city of Philadelphia, sure, is going to continue to expand and grow.
Absolutely. We have great support from Councilman David O's office. We're going to be, the city's going to be involved, and we're ecstatic about this. And certainly what we're going to have the opportunity to do is delve into different industries on every show. And so on this show, we're going to talk about the medical community and the future of jobs in medicine. So I'm happy to bring on to the show Dr. Albert Talone of Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Doc, welcome to the show. Doc, how are we doing there, boss?
Well, the wind has died down, the rain has stopped, the snow has stopped, and it's promised to be a good tomorrow.
Well, listen, it's live radio, too, so we're having all kinds of fun, and at least it's not last night. So, Doc, we talked earlier about the careers in the medical industry and what has impacted them. Tell us, especially insurance. Tell us how insurance has impacted, jobs in the medical community and where things are going.
Well, I've seen more change in the last few years, and I think most of my peer professionals would agree. There's been more change in the last few years than we've seen in a very long time. And insurance companies and their policies are becoming more and more instrumental in moving doctors' careers and also patients' accessibility to care. And it's a whole new innovative methodology, if you will. And doctors and hospitals and all types of professionals are responding to these fast-paced changes. And you have to be on your toes to survive in this. You have to pay attention.
Used to be, you know, growing up, you know, if you wanted to, you know, if you had the smarts and you stuck to your guns and worked real hard, that you know, being a doctor was you know, if you could be successful, it was a sure way to be, you know, to have a career that would make you very successful. And not that that has changed incredibly, but tell us, you know, are there some areas of medicine that have been impacted more than others?
Well, when I was a young doctor starting out, like most, you would go out and hang your shingle, wait for the patients to come in, and the patients basically were loyal to you, and you controlled the care patterns, everything, as a primary care physician. The doctor on the corner, if you remember, you'd walk down the street to the doctor in the corner, you went to the pharmacy on the corner, everybody knew everybody, and primary care, general practice, family medicine, was basically the gatekeeper, the in-charge doc, and he basically funneled all the patients to the hospital and to specialists and subspecialists. That is not necessarily true today. It's to a much limited extent. And fewer people are going into primary care and general medicine and the general specialties. Young people, men and women in school today, have expensive tuition bills to repay. So they tend to gravitate towards the higher pay specialties if they can get training. It's very competitive for these specialties and subspecialties today. But truly, the students coming out of medical school today are looking at this very hard for their career.
Dr. Albert Salone joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Doc, let me ask you, with that, in the spirit of that last statement, has that every action has a reaction, has that now created positions in the medical field where somebody's not a doctor, but there's growth in other positions where people who want to be involved in the medical profession can do so?
Absolutely, Joe. There are so many new opportunities for people to go into healthcare careers without necessarily having to be a doctor. Being a doctor is a very expensive proposition. You're going to work many years without pay or little pay, and there are other opportunities now. So to fill the void that I was talking about, especially in primary care, is the nurse practitioners, the certified nurse practitioners, the physician assistants. This is a growing segment of the healthcare professionals. And these people, with a college degree and 2 years of training or more, depending on how far they go in their discipline, have an opportunity to do direct care of patients and not be indebted as much as the trained medical doctor is. So, yes, you're exactly right. This has given a great opportunity to other peer professionals that work side by side with the doctors. And to many of the patients, it's almost transparent. Many of them are quite skilled and do a fine job.
Dr. Albert Salone, with the resume and credentials that are as long as Broad Street here in Philadelphia, with the work that you've done and the years that you've been involved in the medical field, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get J-Dub.
Doc, before we go, the future of jobs in the medical industry, do you see it going more? You know, I mean, look, we're always thankful to have great doctors like yourself and careers in medicine, but do you see the future of jobs in medicine? Which way do you see that going?
Well, it's totally different, Joe. There are more opportunities now than ever. As I said, you know, economics is playing into this. Insurance reimbursement is playing into this. So young people, young men and women today are looking at this and they're deciding on their skills in a large part to the economics of medicine. And they're learning this real quick, working with doctors and nurses as they train. So there are many, many opportunities. The nurse practitioner, physician assistant, the nurse anesthetist, all types of technicians, technologists, the expanding ability of imaging and laboratory studies. The baby boomers are now all entering into the Medicare field. All these people are going to need service. And, you know, the people are now going to doctors and receiving medical care more than ever. People are more attuned to their health on television, radio. And they're very, challenged by all this, and they're frequenting care. So we're going to need a lot of people to take care of all these folks, and we're going to need a lot of paraprofessionals, you know, other than doctors and nurses and dentists to help us. And there's plenty of opportunities out there. And, of course, a lot of people come into the healthcare professions, and they also cross-train into other disciplines and professions. So you have administrative, educational, research, you know, industry, corporate entities such as pharmaceuticals. So there's an abundant availability of positions, and it's going to continue to grow. I see the future very bright.
Dr. Albert Talone joining us here from Weinerman Pain and Wellness, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on a Saturday night. Doc, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doc.
Always a pleasure being with you.
All right, good stuff from Dr. Talone, Mike Ferraro, Jamil Rush in the studio. I'll go to you, Michael, first, just to follow up on Dr. Talone. The military looks for ways to get people engaged in the medical field. Once they're trained and once they've served, they still have to come out and still find their niche or find their position.
Correct. And what's fantastic about that is the training they get in the military is that combat medic, that battlefield medicine, that telemedicine translates very, very well into the civilian community. As such, like Cooper Healthcare right here out of the Philadelphia area, Camden area, has partnered with us as well as one of our sponsors, and they're hiring medical professionals from the military.
Jamil Rush, let me turn to you, Jamil, just for last word. We'll give you last word on the segment tonight before I turn it over to J-Doc and say goodbye to our listening audience. Is there one nugget of advice that you would give to our listening audience tonight from an HR perspective?
Yeah, just remember the most important asset that you have with your organization is not the things that you have, it's the people. So if you want to be heads and shoulders above your competition and your competitors, you want to make sure you're investing in those individuals and you're investing in those people. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to repay you for it. That's right. Where you get that.
Well done. Good stuff by Jamil Rush. J-Doc, 15 seconds. No more.
Listen, just want to thank Jamil Rush and Mike Ferraro and, of course, Dr. Albert Talone. I want to wish Richie Labor a good luck on Monday and congratulate him and on the announcement, and we'll support him 100%.
Rich Laser making his announcement here tonight. Breaking news here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. That's going to bring our show to a close here on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Dan Loney will take you into the night, as he does every Saturday night. On behalf of J-Doc, Mike Ferrar, Jamil Rush, for being in the studio as well. Thank you very much to everybody listening. I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.